The scripture reading that was read this morning from the Gospel of John, there in John chapter 11, and we read verses 17 through 27. But this scripture was about Lazarus. I should have told Justin to be sure and mention Lazarus before we started reading, because we didn't start at the beginning of what the scriptures have to say about Lazarus. But if you will, turn back to John chapter 11. And I'd like to look at just a couple of things to point out in this particular scripture reading. In John chapter 11, it tells us that Lazarus was from Bethany. I think that Lazarus, his two sisters, Mary and Martha, were very close to Jesus. Because we also see in this same scripture reading, the shortest scripture that we read in the Bible, where Jesus wept because of Lazarus' death. But there's some things that I want to point out from this scripture that I think are really profound statements. Back up in chapter 11 in verse 4, it says that when Jesus had heard about Lazarus being sick, his sisters had sent word to Jesus. It says, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. What a profound statement to say that this sickness is not unto death, because we know that Lazarus, just a few scriptures down, we read that Lazarus has died a physical death. But yet Jesus says that it was for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through what has happened here. He does eventually go to where Martha and Mary are, and where Lazarus has passed away. Matter of fact, he's been put into the tomb already, and he's been there for 4 days. But he makes a statement before that, before our reading that we read in beginning in verse 17. He makes a statement back up in verse 15. I'll go ahead and read verse 14. It says, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. They had called for Jesus to come. Mary and Martha have already made the statements that Jesus, if you'd have just been here, he wouldn't have died. But Jesus makes this statement. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. These scriptures about Lazarus is not about his physical death. Jesus is trying to teach much more than just about his physical death. He did raise Lazarus back to life. So that was certainly a gift to Mary and Martha that loved their brother so much. Jesus gave them a gift, didn't he? By bringing him back to his physical life. But that's really not what these scriptures are all about. They're about something beyond that. They're about talking about spiritual death. Talking about life. Verse 17 says, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fruitful." I'm sorry, I jumped over too far. Go back. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? What a profound statement that Jesus has made to them. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." What a profound statement that our Lord has made. And he says, if you believe in me, though you die a physical death, he shall live. That's what he's trying to teach here. Even though you die a physical death, you can have eternal life with God if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if that you obey what Jesus has taught and told us to do. Recognizing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, what is your life? Each one of us sitting here in this auditorium needs to think, well, what is your life? What's your life all about? Well, we know what the book of James in James chapter 4 and verses about 13 through 17 tells us about what life is. It says it's real brief. That your life is like a vapor. It's here for a little time and then it vanishes away. We all need to think about that, about life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Even though we die a physical death, we can have eternal life if we believe that Jesus is the Christ and through obedience to Him. We only have a little time in this physical life, and then it vanishes away. And we don't know what that time will be. I want to turn back to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, and down in about verse 25. You know, I know that I don't have much time. Many of you sitting here in this audience are young people. A lot are babies. But those that are young people, they think, we've got all the time in the world, forever. Well, we know that it doesn't always happen that way. We don't have much time here on this earth. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, and he tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Well, what's written in the law? What's your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" So see, it's all about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. If you do this, love the Lord God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength and your brother as yourself. If you do that, you can have eternal life. That's what Jesus was conveying to Martha in that account that we read in John 11. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? If you become a Christian, and there's some that may not be Christians, but if you become a Christian, your life is going to be tested very much so. Here in the book of Luke, it gives us an example of the test and the trials that we may go through. And this is a short scripture in Luke chapter 6. And I'll begin in verse 46. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Keep in mind the thing that he had just said back there in the other scripture that we read was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all the strength." And if you're not doing that, why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." When we become a Christian, we're part of the house of God. We're part of the church. This scripture doesn't tell us that, once you become a Christian, everything's good. He says, be founded on that rock. The apostles built that foundation with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone of that foundation. Scriptures also tells us to beware how we build on that foundation. But if we'll build on it according to God, it doesn't matter what comes in life. Doesn't matter what trials come our way, what tribulations, what things that we are faced with. We can stand firm because we've got God. Because you see, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that's the reason why. That's the reason why. Well, we know that life is going to be tested all the way through. Even in becoming a Christian, I think sometimes we may be even tested more so, that our faith might be able to be built up and that we can be encouraged. But as we go through life with whatever trials or whatever tribulations come our way, we know that we'll face a test at the very end of life because we've got to stand before God and give an account of what we've done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9 through 14, it tells us, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. We'll declare it because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he'll receive a reward. Isn't that a wonderful promise? No matter what the test, what the trials that you face as a Christian, no matter how rough it gets through life, if we will endure, and that's really important that we endure, then the Scriptures tells us that we'll be given a reward. We can receive a reward. Over in James chapter 1 in verse 12, it tells you about that reward. Do you want to receive the reward? If you endure, you can, and it's a crown of life. It's eternal life. And that's what God's Word tells us, that we can receive that reward if we'll just endure. We must endure all of our lives as Christians if we're going to receive the reward. You know, the Scriptures tells us that it doesn't matter how much righteousness you've done behind you. If you turn from that righteousness and turn to sin, you're in a bad state. God's not going to remember all that righteousness back there because He's fixing to judge you in regard to that sin. So we need to be real careful of the works that we do, the things that we do in life as we go through life. Don't all of you think that life is precious? I know some of you young people think, oh, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got days and years, just lots of time ahead of me. But we don't know that. We're here for a little time, and we're like a vapor. Vanishes away. If life is precious to you, then what's your life going to profit you? If life is precious to you, I know it's precious to each and every one of you. I know that. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works. What are we going to do with our life? Our life is precious to us, but what's it going to profit you? Is it going to cost your soul because you don't do those things that God has commanded that we do? That we don't live as God has instructed us to do? Is it going to cost your soul? Then what will you profit? You won't have eternal life. Jesus wants you to have eternal life. He wants it to be profitable to you. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 10, it says, Jesus Christ has abolished death. And he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's where we can get it. That's where we can get immortality and life is through what God has told us here in the gospel. If we'll just do those things, if we will follow those things, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that's what the gospel teaches us. And we need to be very conscious of that. He abolished death. Our Lord and Savior was resurrected from the tomb. He destroyed death. And talks now about eternal life. About the reward of an eternal life with Him. He brought life. He can bring immortality. And He brings it to light through the gospel, through the Word of God. That's why we need to study it. That's why we need to read it. We need to look in it to see what it has to say. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 21, it says that sin reigned in death. Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we can have that grace. That's how through righteousness to eternal life, it comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the resurrection and the life. I read an example because I wanted to ask myself, recognizing that I don't have much time, that life is going to be tested, and that life is precious to me. I asked myself, what should be our supreme objective in life? If we're going to live here on this earth, what should be my supreme objective in life? Have you ever thought about that? You know what the Apostle Paul told the brethren at Philippi? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, you know what Paul told them? He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That should be our objective in life, y'all. Life is precious. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Paul knew, because he says, for me to live is Christ. That's what we need to do. We need to live. That's Christ. And to die is gain, because he knows he can receive the reward that God has promised, which is eternal life in heaven. You know, as I thought about this objective in life, and I want to read just one more scripture as you think about Jesus being the resurrection and life. I want to read one scripture, and it's over in 1 John chapter 5, and it's down in verse 12. This scripture that the Apostle John has written states, he who has the Son, referring to Jesus Christ, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. How precious is it to you? What profit will you gain? We know that Jesus himself says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if we'll just have Jesus, we can have life. But if we don't, and we make decisions not to have Jesus, then this scripture here tells us that you don't have life. Are you subject to what we read in the gospel about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you desire to have that life as a Christian? And no matter what the struggles you're going to be faced with in life, and believe me, we're all facing them. Every day we face struggles in our lives. But we can have eternal life if we'll endure. That scripture says that we've got to endure and endure to the end. If you're subject to the call of Christ, or if you're a Christian that needs the prayers of this congregation, we certainly want to help you any way that we possibly can. Will you come as we stand and sing?